Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com.
You are now listening to the Calcio Corner Podcast with your host, Raffaele.
It's good. This is indeed the Calcio Corner Podcast, where we cover all corners of Italian football and more. My name is Raffaele. Thank you for taking the time to listen to this, the 42nd episode of the Calcio Corner Podcast. Please be sure to subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, and Audioboom. Be sure to give me a follow on Twitter. My account is at Italiano Calcio. There is a link in my Twitter bio that will provide you with all the links you need to help support and listen to my podcast. A little bit later on this episode, I will have Sia Falahi on. He does a great job covering primarily Inter, but the game of Calcio in general for Eurosport. He's a great follow on Twitter as well, so we'll get him on to talk about Inter's big win over Milan and the Scudetto race. So definitely stay tuned for that interview a little bit later on. All right, guys, I'm happy to announce that Manscaped are a sponsor of the Calcio Corner Podcast. Manscaped are the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. They obsess over their technology developments to provide you with the best tools for your grooming experience. Manscaped is trusted by over 2 million men worldwide. 2 million men. So what are you waiting for? I have an exclusive offer for my listeners. You can get 20% off plus free shipping with the code CALCIOCORNER at manscaped.com. One word, no space. The code is CALCIOCORNER. That's C-A-L-C-I-O, corner. You can go to their site and order some of their great products right now as you're listening to this podcast. Manscaped has created the best below-the-waist hair trimmer ever, the Lawnmower 3.0. Their third-generation trimmer features a cutting-edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents thanks to their advanced skin-safe technology. In addition, this trimmer comes with an LED light for a more precise shave, and what I think is the best feature on it is that it's waterproof to make your shower shave nice and clean, nice and easy. The Lawnmower 3.0 comes inside their brand new Perfect Package 3.0, which comes with everything, and I mean everything you need to keep trim, cut free, and smelling nice down there. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code CALCIOCORNER at manscaped.com. That's one word, CALCIOCORNER. The link and promo code information can be found in the description of this podcast, so be sure to check that out right now as you're listening. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code CALCIOCORNER at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. And make sure you use the code CALCIOCORNER. Unlock your confidence and always, always use the right tools for the job with Manscaped. All right, so we will start off this 42nd episode of the podcast by recapping the recent Serie A action, round 23. And I know I usually do the good, the bad, and the ugly, but I wanted to try out a new format. I'm going to call it my five takeaways or my five things from this weekend. Number one, Inter with a massive win over their rivals, Milan. Obviously, this was a game that had first place implications. If Milan won, they were able to leapfrog Inter. Inter win would increase the lead to a 4-point lead over Milan, which is what happened. Inter win 3-0. They definitely outplayed Milan in this game and were more than deserving of the 3 points. This was certainly a fair result. And something from this game that certainly stood out to me was certain players that have been struggling for Inter and have been heavily criticized by the Inter fan base coming up big in this game. And that's Samir Handanovic and that's also Lautaro Martinez. Samir Handanovic made 3 critical massive saves early on in that second half. And at the time when he made those big saves, twice he denied Zlatan Ibrahimovic within, you know, a matter of minutes. And then he denied Sandro Tonali a little bit later on off what was a dangerous kick from distance from Tonali. At the time that Handanovic made those 3 saves, this game was only 1-0 Inter were winning. If Handanovic just lets one of those goals in, which I don't think anyone could have blamed him had one of those snuck by him because they were, you know, 3 great saves by Handanovic. You know, we're looking at a 1-1 game. The way Milan came out in that second half, they were outplaying Inter those first few minutes of the second half. If they equalize and make that a 1-1 game, I mean, who knows what the result of this game is. maybe, you know, maybe it ends in a draw, maybe Inter still go on to win, whatever the case may be, but certainly momentum would have been on Milan's side with the rest of the second half to play. So Handanovic stepped up big, made some big saves to keep Inter in this game. And then, as I mentioned, Lautaro Martinez, he scored Inter's first two goals. The first one he scored was a beautiful header off a nice assist from Lukaku. The second was just an unbelievable team goal and build-up play from the Nerazzurri. And Lautaro Martinez was fortunately the one there at the end to finish it off. So that was one takeaway from this Inter game, was stepping up of Handanovic, stepping up with Lautaro Martinez, two heavily criticized players for the Nerazzurri, coming up big in a big game to increase their lead to 4 points over Milan. And when you think about who Inter have beaten in you know, last month or so plus, they've handled Juve. They beat a very good, very informed Lazio side. Now they handle Milan relatively easily. Those are three big wins. You know, and I mentioned it last time, if Inter want to win the Scudetto, if they want to be viewed as those Scudetto favorites, which a lot of people do view them as, you have to beat these other top teams, top opponents. And they handled Juve relatively easily. They, you know, they got a good fight from Lazio, but, you know, in some ways they were perhaps outplayed by Lazio last weekend, but they were able to pull that victory off, which shows the fight of a team that wants to be a champion. And today they outclassed and outperformed who I think is an inferior Milan team. I do think Inter are certainly the better team over their city rivals Milan, and it showed in this game. So it's been a nice run of results for Inter. That's why, you know, they are viewed as the Scudetto favorites, I think, by the masses. I do expect them to go on to win. I predicted them to win it preseason, and I haven't seen anything from them to make me waver off of, you know, that preseason prediction I made. All right, my second takeaway or my second point from this weekend that I wanted to make is Milan. Look at the flip side of that Inter game against Milan. They were vastly outplayed by Inter, who, as I mentioned, they are a more talented side than Nerazzurri. Now, coming into this season, I picked Milan to finish fifth, I believe. I'd have to go back and listen to that prediction podcast, but I do believe I picked them to finish fifth. So I actually have them missing out in the Champions League. Now, they've had a strong season. We all know that. They've played well for most of the season. And I think, you know, we can't just discard them after this loss to Inter. Now, it's coupled with the loss against Spezia and Inter, so back-to-back league losses for the Rossoneri. But those losses, as I mentioned, they're kind of starting to come more frequently of late for Milan in Serie A. Four losses in the league. All of them have happened since the calendar has turned to 2021. So they've all happened in January and February. And, you know, they're losing, for the most part, three of those four losses are against the, you know, the big boys in the league. The teams that they're trying to fight for to win that Scudetto in to qualify for the Champions League. They lost against Juve. They were totally outplayed. They lost against Atalanta. They were outplayed. They were lost, as I mentioned, obviously just to Inter. They were outplayed. They lost against Spezia, which was a significant loss for them, a loss that shouldn't have happened. And they were pretty much outplayed against Spezia as well. So, you know, I think a lot of us have felt Milan have been punching above their weight. And maybe we're starting to see them come back down to earth and this amazing run that they've been on. They had like, I don't remember, was it over 20, 30 games of unbeaten, an unbeaten streak dating back to last season or whatever the case may be. So we're starting to see them come back down to earth. Some of the losses are starting to pile up. So, you know, I'm just wondering, are we starting to see a Milan side that is starting to show more of who they truly are? You know, they've overcome injuries over the early part of the season, but now they're not starting to get the results that we've come accustomed to seeing from them. They're starting to rack up these losses. They're losing to some of the big boys, like I mentioned, the teams that they're trying to battle for, the Scudetto, battle for the top four. So it's just something that I would monitor. You know, this loss against Inter is somewhat alarming, in my opinion. And, you know, I just wonder, is it possible to see this Milan side go from first place most of the season to totally falling out of perhaps even Champions League qualification? Do I think it'll happen? No. But when you consider just how congested the top seven are in Serie A and just how competitive teams are 1 through 7, we've seen every team in Italy, more or less these top teams, show some weakness at various points of the season. Perhaps Inter have been the most consistent side, and that's why they are in first place. This may be now, you know, the Rossoneri's turn to kind of show some weakness and have a little bit of a poor run of results. And they're juggling the Europa League games right now. So certainly the longer they go into that competition also will impact their standing in Serie A. So you wonder, how beneficial is it to be continuing to compete in the Europa League if it's going to cost them perhaps Champions League qualification, whatever the case may be. So that's just my second takeaway from this weekend, is These losses are starting to pile up for Milan. They're starting to pile up against mainly the big teams that they're trying to battle for. If they want to win the Scudetto, if they want to finish top four, they play Roma next week. Roma, you know, had a poor result drawing 0-0 against Benevento, considering Benevento went down a man in that second half. Roma probably should have pulled that win off. And you know, Roma will give them a bit of a challenge as well. So it's just something to pay attention to. Are we starting to see, you know, Milan come back down to earth? This Inter loss certainly may imply that we are starting to see Milan regress more to what we expected them to be versus what they've been portraying, at least throughout most of the season. All right, my third takeaway from this weekend was the letdown from Napoli in their big game against Atalanta. Certainly the marquee game was Milan versus Inter, but the second big game on the schedule was Atalanta-Napoli. Two teams vying for Champions League qualification, both of them pretty much right there on the outside looking in, entering this week. Napoli coming off that massive win over Juve the previous weekend. A big win to potentially save Gattuso's job, at least until the end of the season. Maybe you're starting to think that here come Napoli, they're starting to turn the corner. We saw a good performance from Rachmani and Maksimovic in that game against Juve. So I was really curious to see how would Napoli build on this game against a good Atalanta side. Now we know they had their letdown midweek against Granada in the Europa League, but let's discard that result when we're talking about just Serie A, building off that big win off of Juve. They're facing an Atalanta side that eliminated them recently from Coppa Italia, a side that's played them pretty well in those two legs. Atalanta did lose to Napoli in their first meeting 4-1, I believe the score was. So Napoli did have some, you know, positive results against this side this season, but Napoli totally let me down in this game. Now look, Atalanta, we all know, are a very good side, or a very dangerous side that could strike quick and strike often, and that's what they did. This first half was very lackluster, but the second half, you know, Atalanta scored, I believe it was like 3 goals in a 20-minute span, and that's what this side is capable of doing. Luis Muriel got a rare start. Primarily, he's been a super sub for Atalanta, but he got the start in this game. He played outstanding. He had an assist. He scored a goal. Duvan Zapata played well, so that Colombian striking tandem did well together in this start ahead of their, you know, Champions League clash against Real Madrid. But overall, I was disappointed with the performance from Napoli. Those defensive errors that we've kind of get accustomed to seeing from Rachmani, Maksimovic, and Di Lorenzo and whatnot that they weren't really making against Juve last weekend, those came back against Atalanta. Moret, you know, who put in a great performance against Juve, he kind of had a rough game in this one. So that seesaw season continues for Napoli, where you see them play so great that they could beat Juve, so great that they could win, you know, 4-1 against Atalanta, so great that they could, you know, destroy Genoa, so great that they could destroy Fiorentina, and then yet they have these letdowns where they'll lose to Spezia, where now they look, there's no shame in losing to Atalanta, but it's certainly how you lose. And there was nothing from this game that really made you feel confident, if you're a Napoli fan, to kind of build on that win against Juve. So I was disappointed with Napoli's performance. I've been drumming this on this podcast for a while now. I think that they need to get into Champions League qualification, not necessarily to save Gattuso's job. I think that's a foregone conclusion that he will be fired at the end of the season. Not necessarily fired, but his contract expires and he won't be brought back. Napoli will go in a different direction. De Laurentiis will bring someone in, whether it's Ivan Juric, Vincenzo Italiano, whoever the case may be. But this performance from Napoli was disappointing. I know they didn't start Insigne. They were resting him. He came off the bench. They've been decimated with injuries. We know that. It's not necessarily an excuse, but it certainly is impacting them, and it's a reason for their inconsistency. But you just wanted to see a better performance from Napoli coming off that Juve game, but we didn't get it. Give credit to Atalanta. They're a hell of a side. I think they're going to have a legitimate shot at beating Real Madrid, a struggling Real Madrid side, a side in Real Madrid that's been up and down themselves, Real Madrid sides that's also dealing with injuries similar to Napoli. So we'll see if Atalanta could pull that off, but give Atalanta credit. They beat Napoli 4-1, 4-2. They get an outstanding performance from Luis Muriel. He was certainly the standout for Atalanta. But my takeaway from this game is the disappointment and letdown from Napoli, who couldn't do anything to build off of that big emotional win over Juve last weekend. All right, my fourth takeaway from this weekend has to be the performance from Gaetano Castrovilli in Fiorentina's 3-0 win over Spezia. Now, Castrovilli, he actually started the game on the bench. Not exactly clear as to why he was on the bench. Was Prandelli just giving him rest, trying to let him refresh his mind and body because he really has not been playing well? Or was it more like, hey, you haven't been playing well, we're trying to get a win here, we're going to stick you on the bench because you haven't been getting it done on the field? Not sure why he was on the bench, but he ended up coming on towards the very end of the first half when Bonaventura went down with an injury, and Castrovilli totally flipped this game for La Viola. He assisted the first Fiorentina goal, then he ended up scoring the second one himself. which was actually his first goal since October 25th. It has just been such a long stretch for the young Italian without a goal. And, you know, outside from that fast start that he had this season, I mean, he came out those first few games scoring goals and playing well. And it looked like this was the season that Gaetano Castrovilli was going to take off and, you know, fully announce himself to Serie A. But he really has gone in a slump ever since then. And I know I've been critical of him on this podcast in the past, saying his body language and what I see from him on the field hasn't been very positive. And, you know, it's hard to be positive, I guess, when your team is struggling so much, but you still got to rise above that, especially a young player like him. It's not like he's some, you know, seasoned veteran who's, you know, done nothing but losing and heartbreak his whole career. He's still young. So it was nice to see him kind of bounce back and finally have himself a good performance. First one in a long time. Again, he had an assist, scored a goal. Big win for Fiorentina over Spezia, who obviously was just coming off that big win over Milan. So I was really happy to see Castrovilli play well. He totally changed his game for Fiorentina, as I mentioned. And let's see if this is the type of game that perhaps could get Castrovilli back on track, get his season turned around. There's still plenty of time for him to salvage this season. And hopefully he could build himself up and get to that level of a player that I think all of us know that he's capable of reaching. But we haven't quite seen that from him this season on a consistent basis enough. So that's my fourth standout. My fourth point from this game was the strong performance from Castrovilli. All right, my fifth and final takeaway from this past weekend was the couple of results that were disappointing results or late letdowns, if you will. So Verona-Genoa, they drew 2-2. Verona were on pace to finally end Genoa's winning streak, or I should say unbeaten streak, and pick up a big 3 points. And when you look at this Verona side, they've kind of been a little bit of a disappointment, and they haven't been as special as a side as we've seen from them in the past. We know they made the move to get Kevin Lasagna in January and hope that he would help bolster their attack. He had a horrible game against Genoa. He had a few chances that he should have finished. Had he finished those games, Verona definitely would have got the 3 points, but they kept allowing that door to stay open for Genoa, and they allowed a late, literally last-second goal by Genoa to get a 2-2 draw. So that was good for Genoa, who actually now are unbeaten over their last 7 games, which is tied with Inter for the current longest streak in Serie A. But, you know, bad on Verona allowing that last-second goal and missing out on a big 3 points. So that was one of the disappointing results. Another one was Sassuolo drawing 1-1 against Bologna. Bologna went down a man in the 30th minute. So here you have Sassuolo, who is a pretty good attacking team with the likes of Caputo, the likes of Juric, the likes of Domenico Berardi, who is back for them and starting. You play an hour with a man advantage against a Bologna side that's been, you know, very hot and cold, nothing spectacular this season. You as Sassuolo are supposed to be, your specialty is supposed to be offense, it's supposed to be attacking. Roberto De Zerbi is an attacking-minded coach, and you have a man advantage for 60 minutes, and all you could do is muster up a 1-1 draw. That was another disappointing result for me this weekend. Also, Roma drawing 0-0 against Benevento. Benevento go down a man in the 57th minute, so you got about 30-plus minutes if you're Roma to get a point, find one goal against a 10-man Benevento side, a Benevento side that has really been struggling. And Roma have feasted. They have feasted on these lower level teams, these lower table teams. This is one of the reasons why they've been pushing for a Champions League spot, is their positive results and them getting 3 points for the most part against these lower level teams. But to draw against Benevento 0-0, I thought that was another bad result for Roma in this weekend. Parma-Udinese. Parma had another bad result. They actually go up 2-0 in the first half. Here's Parma looking like they're finally going to get a win, finally get 3 points against a beatable Udinese side. This is one of the few sides that Parma could try to find 3 points against to earn salvation. And instead, they concede 2 second-half goals, one of them coming in the 80th minute. So they're about 10 minutes away from getting a massive 3 points. And again, they let Udinese back in the door, back in the game. So they do get 1 point, Parma. But again, that was just another poor result. So there was a few of those really poor results where teams that could have used points, like Parma, like Roma, they obviously using it for different reasons, right? Parma trying to fight off relegation. Roma are trying to push to stay in the top four and potentially, just potentially, battle for that Scudetto. Sassuolo and Verona are, you know, bit of a long shots at this point, but certainly trying to push and hold on to hopes of pushing into a top six spot and potentially qualifying for the Europa League. So for Verona to let Genoa equalize late, for Sassuolo to not able to beat a 10-man Bologna side with an hour plus in that game, those were some of the disappointing results, in my opinion, from this round, and that is my fifth and final takeaway from this weekend in Serie A. All right, so I will have Sia Falahi on. He does a great job covering the game of Calcio for Eurosport. He is also the big Inter fan and a knowledgeable Inter fan, so we will get him on to talk about Inter's big win over Milan and so much more surrounding the Nerazzurri. All right, so let me welcome in my guest on the Calcio Corner podcast, Mr. Sia Falahi. How are you doing today, Sia?
All good, thanks. How about you?
I'm doing well. Can't complain. It's actually a nice warm day here in New York for a change, which is nice.
Yeah, same here in Stockholm.
All right. So Inter coming off a big win over Milan, obviously. You do a great job covering and following this team, so I just wanted to get you on to talk a bit about this win and about Inter in general. So Inter winning 3-0 against Milan. Who really? There were so many, you know, good players in this game, but who really stood out to you in this win for Inter?
I think Lautaro Martinez was the best player on the pitch. He obviously scored 2 goals, and they might look easy, but I think he does good things all over the pitch. I think he's really taken his goal scoring to the next step the last few months. I mean, he's 13 non-penalty goals. That's together with Lukaku, I think, the most in the league. So I think he really stood out, like, more than the goals. He's very good in pressure when Inter defends. He's often leading the press. And I also think he's very clean with the ball. You know, he's very good at controlling it and beating his man and creating space for his teammates. More than that, I think, obviously, Romelu Lukaku stood out with his goal and with his assist. That are two world-class performances. I mean, the cross for Lautaro is perfect, and the goal is, you know, I really don't need to say anything about it, but it's just a great goal. And I want to give honorary mentions for Samir Handanović, who pulled off at least one really, really good save, and I think two other that I think he should take, but of course good saves. And the second honorary mention is for Ivan Perisic, who I think did very well on his wing.
You know, it was good to see Lautaro put in a good game, even Handanović, because they've been two players that I felt have been criticized quite a bit this season. And, you know, they've had their ups and downs, but it was good for them, from an Inter perspective, to see those two players come up in a big game. You mentioned Ivan Perisic. What do you kind of make of, like, Christian Eriksen and Ivan Perisic? They're starting to play a more critical role for Inter, and Conte's now kind of, like, found confidence in these two players, considering that they were primarily, you know, right in the bench most of the season.
Yeah, I think it shows the humility, maybe you call it, that these two players have, because Perisic came this summer from Bayern Munich after winning a treble, and he's kind of adapted to playing this left wing back role that he never did before. And he is now, I think he's had a couple of tough months, but I think that he now is very solid in defense, and that he is quite dangerous when he goes forward. And it's not easy when you're an offensive winger to take the step down in the field and, you know, work more in defense and be as dangerous up front, because you spend more energy defending, right? So you kind of, so that energy goes lost. But I think in the last few games, I mean, I think he was really good against Lazio. I think he was really good today against Milan. I think he was really good against Fiorentina in the Cup. So he's had a 1.5-2 months where he's been really good. And I think it's good on him and good on Conte, because Conte has been very rigid with his players and his choices and the way he's used them. But he's kind of adapted a bit and really believed in these players. And I think the same goes, and even more, with Eriksen, that Conte probably had ruled out, but that he now has found a perfect role for. And, you know, Eriksen as Perisic are two quality players. And when you have qualities, I think, you know, football becomes easier for you and you can do good things. And Eriksen, for me, has been very wasted on the bench because even though he might not have looked good, I think that he has qualities that are enough to do well in any team in the world. So I was really hoping for Conte to find him a role. And I think that now he has, because he's not only good offensively, he's good in defense as well. He does a really good action on the second goal, where he feeds Perisic in the exact right moment to set up Lautaro for 2-0. So I'm very happy for Eriksen. You know, he's got a Euros to play this summer. Mm-hmm. No movement this summer on between the clubs, and Inter couldn't sell. So I think it really helped him and Inter that this happened, and that Conte has had a good role in finding a new role for Eriksen that has helped Inter in the end.
Yeah, I was going to say Inter obviously had a quiet January mercato, but, you know, utilizing Christian Eriksen now since pretty much January, it's almost like a new signing for them, and he's certainly starting to make those positive contributions. So with this win, Inter now go 4 points clear of Milan in the Scudetto race. I think a lot of people have been kind of touting Inter as a Scudetto favorite. With this 4-point lead, do you think the title race is over, or do you think there's potentially, you know, another twist or turn to still be coming around the corner?
I don't think it's over. I think this derby was wrongly painted as crucial for the title. I really think it wasn't. I think that it might go on to give Inter the boost that they need to go on to win. But more than that, I don't think it was decisive in any way. I think that, you know, the point gap is only 4 points. Inter has some tough games. Milan has some tough games. I think Juve is, you know, obviously the strongest side in the league, but they haven't been playing the best football. So I don't think it's over. But what I hope for Inter as Inter fan, right, though, is that they can keep on building on this. And I really think that after you've beaten Juventus and Lazio and Milan within 5 weeks, you can go on to show that Inter is here to win, and not only to yourselves, but also to the rest of the league, you know, the rest of the teams in the league. So, it wasn't decisive, but, you know, Inter will get a massive boost. And it also depends a bit on how well the Italian teams do in Europe. Because if Milan keeps playing the Europa League, I'm counting on them to not be able to handle that. If Roma plays in Europa League, I'm counting on them to not be able to handle that. I think Lazio, you know, they have a very tough game against Bayern, and Atalanta have a very tough game against Real. But the longer the teams are in the European tournament, and Juve, of course, have to turn around the game against Porto. So the longer the other teams are in Europe, the better it will be for Inter. But I'm counting on some of Inter's contenders to be knocked out quite soon. And that will, of course, make things more even.
Yeah, and you mentioning the wins over Juve, Lazio, Milan in the recent weeks, it's certainly as impressive of a stretch that Inter have put together. And certainly you could understand why people are touting them as the Scudetto favorites. And you mentioned Juve, so I just quickly want to get your take. A lot of people have their mixed feelings on, are Juve done? Are they still alive? They're 9-time champions. They know how to get it done. How do you, where do you kind of feel fall on that argument? Do you think Juve are done, or do you think people are just giving them too much credit because they are Juve? And they do have a lot of talent, but they've struggled this season. Where do you kind of fall on that?
I think they have the by far best squad in the league. I think they have the most players, the best player in Cristiano Ronaldo. If, of course, you know, Inter has Romelu Lukaku and Milan has Zlatan, but Cristiano is probably, you know, amongst the best in the world. And, you know, having that kind of player, they have a lot of options in attack. I think they're quite weak on the midfield, but other than that, they have a very wide squad with many alternatives, many players, and many options. So I think they have the best squad in the league, and I'm expecting them to perform well in the league. I'm expecting them to have a bit more problems in Europe, because the teams in Europe are a bit different from the teams in Italy. I don't think they're finished, you know. I think they are quite close to where they should be. They've dropped some unnecessary points that you're not used to seeing them do, but they have a totally inexperienced coach, and I think that if a difference will be made, it will be made because of Pirlo's inexperience, and if Cristiano Ronaldo can't manage to carry Juve this year, because he's the difference maker, and I'm not been impressed with what Morata and Kulusevski have done by themselves. So Juve very much depends on Ronaldo having a good game. I think that they will be the team that will battle with Inter for the Scudetto in the end. I'm expecting Milan to drop down a bit. I'm expecting Roma to drop down a bit, but I'm expecting Juve to be kind of stabilized and, you know, get the points that they need to be in the battle when things are going to end.
All right. We'll have to see. Obviously, only time will tell. Yeah. Let's assume Inter win the Scudetto. What do you think that would mean for, like, Antonio Conte? I mean, would this be extra special because, you know, he would get back at Juve a little bit? He would end there the run that he kind of started with them. It was him who started this Juve dynasty. How special of a Scudetto win would this be for Conte, in your opinion?
I think it would be very special for him because I think even though Inter, you know, on the paper probably were needed to take a leap this year to go for the win, winning is never a guarantee, and winning is never a guarantee when you, you know, face a team that has higher wages, more players, better players. So I think his past at Juve, also for Conte, you know, we see there are some hard feelings between him and Agnelli and Nedved and the guys. So I think it would be extremely special for him because he's been painted as a very one-sided coach. He's won with, you know, Juve, he's won with Chelsea, but winning with Inter is a bit more like, you know, his first title with Chelsea. It came kind of out of nowhere and against a very strong team. So if he could manage to pull that off with Inter, it would be extremely special for him and he'd get a lot of the credit because, you know, in the summer, Inter, you know, they didn't buy anyone. They just made free transfer. Of course, it was Conte's guys with Arturo Vidal and Kolarov. But, you know, if he could have chosen, he would probably have preferred other players, of course, right, more expensive, other roles. So it would be extremely special for him. And I think not only for him, for Marotta as well, for Oriali as well, you know, for the whole club, because they obviously gone a long time without winning the league. So I think Conte came to Inter with the mission to win the title. And if he manages to do that, I think it will go down as one of his favorite titles.
For sure. Hard to argue with that, especially like you mentioned, the recent beef between he and Juve's management and whatnot. So I'm sure this would be a special one for him. All right, I'll get you out of here on this. Lukaku, Barella, they're, you know, arguably the two best players on Inter, such critical players. In your opinion, who's more critical for this Inter side? Like, if Inter had to do without one of them, which one do you think they could sacrifice and which one do you think they would have to keep?
I think they'd have to keep Lukaku because in this Inter, I can see Barella replaced because there are quite many options on the midfield. You know, today Inter has, you know, Gagliardini, many laugh at him, but he's a valid option to play on Inter's midfield. Arturo Vidal is, you know, a great player. He has a good CV. He has won a lot, so he can also be thrown in on the field. So Vecino is coming back, you know, so there are quite some few. They don't do what Barella does, but I think they can be replaced. Unfortunately, Inter doesn't have a true Lukaku replacement. I mean, I think Inter is one of few teams in the top that, you know, has three okay strikers. The most of the other teams, you know, if you look at Milan today, even before without Ibrahimovic and Mandzukic, right? They have, you know, Leao, they have Hauge, they have Brahim Diaz, they have Rebic, they have a lot of players offensively. If you look at Atalanta, they have Zapata, they have Muriel, they have a lot of offensive options. But Inter really doesn't have any option to Romelu Lukaku. And I think, you know, Lautaro Martinez can carry some of the weight when Romelu is gone. But the main goal scorer of the team is Lukaku, and his goals are crucial for Inter to win games easily at times, you know. So I think if I have to choose one to keep, it's going to be Lukaku because he's the goal scorer. And, you know, right, the hardest thing in football is scoring goals. And that's why strikers are worth so much money. Mm-hmm. And that's why you pay so much money to get them. I just would have wanted Inter to have a Giroud or Dzeko type of player to be able to give Romelu some rest sometime because he's more or less played every league game the last 2 years.
Yeah, he every game he just puts in one hell of an effort and leaves it all out there. He's a fantastic player, and he's kind of totally made Inter fans forget about Icardi and how, you know, special a player he was for this club until things started to go, you know, off the deep end, if you will. But Lukaku's been unbelievable, probably better than any Inter fan could have expected when they signed him.
I agree. I think I think I was one of those who thought that Icardi was a better player. You know, I think I thought Icardi was a much better goal scorer. But, you know, Romelu just gives so much more to the team than what Mauro was starting to do at Inter. You know, before everything went crazy with Mauro, he was actually improving his, you know, target game and build-up play and everything like that. But he's not near Romelu, and I think Romelu has a character which is easy to appreciate. You know, he always talks about the team, speak 8 languages. You know, he's a very, you know, cultural guy. He's very down to earth. He seems to love football. You know, he studies a lot of the game. So I really appreciate him, and I probably didn't think I'd appreciate him this much, but I'm very happy to have Romelu Lukaku at my club.
For sure, and I couldn't see Icardi maybe flourishing under Conte with, like you said, he doesn't maybe make the same sacrifices Lukaku does, and I don't know how much Conte would tolerate that, so I think they ended up with the better striker for what Conte wants. I can't thank you enough, Sia, for taking the time to provide your great insight and take on Inter and their big win over Milan. Stay safe and hope to talk to you again soon.
Yeah, same. Thanks for having me, and take care.
All right, take care. So that will do it for the 42nd episode of the Culture Corner podcast. I hope you have enjoyed it. A special thank you to Sia for taking his time to join me on this episode and provide his great insight regarding Inter. Once again, please be sure to subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, and Audioboom. Feel free to leave a rating and comment. That would be greatly appreciated to help us grow our content. And until next time, guys, ciao.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Calcio Corner podcast with your host, Raffaele. If you've enjoyed this episode, please rate, review, and subscribe on your preferred podcast listening platform. We really appreciate that effort. Until next time.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or jeffweilercolumbusautomall.com.
We all know that owning a small business means you wear many hats, but sometimes you really need an extra pair of hands. Upwork is how good companies find great and trusted freelance talent. With more than 2 decades of experience, with the simple and ambitious goal of pioneering a better way of working, companies at every stage turn to Upwork to get things done and find more flexibility in staffing key projects and initiatives. They access a global marketplace filled with top talent in IT, web dev, marketing, and more. Posting a job on Upwork is easy. With no cost to join, you can register, browse freelancer profiles, and get help drafting a job post or even book a consultation. From there, you connect with freelancers that get you and can easily hire them and take your business to the next level. Visit Upwork.com right now and post your job for free. That's Upwork.com to post your job for free and connect with top talent ready to help your business grow. That's UPWORK.com, Upwork.com.